The following podcast is recorded and produced by the Podcast Precinct in affiliation with the network at bicbp-radio.com. The Podcast Precinct. Consistency, creativity, culture.
On purpose. Yeah, welcome back to the Starry Night Theater podcast. I'm your host, Alex.
I'm your other host, DJ.
And today we have two lovely people on our podcast. Can you introduce yourselves?
You go.
Hi, I'm Shelby Ebeling, and I'm back again for my second podcast here.
Ooh.
Catherine Marciano, and this is my third episode.
Whoa. Wow, right, your third. Mm-hmm.
Getting up there.
So we're all here because Voices in the Attic is happening. This is our last Sunday performance of it. That flew by. Like, it's already over. Today's it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How was the experience from getting the role till where we are now? Broad question. But I talked about my experience on here. I feel like we all had kind of similar experiences. So whoever wants to take it first, go ahead.
Well, I will say that I saw the show 29 years ago, the first time it was done. And it was cool because I had just done my first show with Ghostlight, and it was Oliver, 1995. And then I told my mom, like, hey, I want to go check out the fall show, you know, just to see like what else they do. And we love Halloween. My mom's a big Halloween freak. So we were creeped out. We were scared. We were like, this is so weird and we love it. And I was like, okay, this is definitely the theater for me. These bunch of creeps. So I was 12. So I have been thinking about this show ever since. And I've mentioned throughout the years here and there to Don, like, what about, you know, Voices? The ladder show, as my mom and I would call it. And so when it was announced this year, I was so excited. I was definitely like, I have to do that. There was a moment in time where I thought that I wasn't going to be able to because of a conference I'm going to, but it worked out that I was able to do the show. And I knew immediately when I reread the script, cause, you know, I didn't remember all the details from 30 years ago, but I really knew I wanted to play Miss Ruby. And, you know, at auditions, a lot of great people got up and read for that part. And I was like, ooh, I don't know. But whatever it is, I want to be in the show. Like, it's so fun. I've been wanting to do it forever. And I was just super excited to get the opportunity. Miss Ruby's such a weird character. quirky. I agree with a lot of what you said, DJ, on the pod, that it was because we only had two rehearsals a week, it was hard. It was really hard to remember. Like, sometimes you'd go a full week without doing that scene. And it was hard to remember the lines and, you know, just kind of connect all the dots. And I think really it wasn't till like dress rehearsals that things really started to feel like they were gelling. But this was a tougher show for me. I'm getting older too. You know, I'm in my 40s now, and it was harder to memorize lines and to just get the character down and figure out what the heck I was doing. And I'm really happy with how it turned out. I'm having a super fun time with the show. I love all the bits and characters that I get to do in addition to Miss Ruby. And it's just been like a fun ensemble piece. So I've really enjoyed it. And I'm really happy with the final product of the whole show. But it was a tough one.
Because there's stuff that you just don't think about. And it didn't hit till I was talking with Sean. Like, you build so much character stuff by working with your partner. Mm-hmm. And you build that connection. And you can hear the lines as much as you want to with somebody else. But it's not for me, in my case, it wasn't Trevor saying the lines. Yeah. Like, it just wasn't coming together. And so that last rehearsal before dress, where it was just my dad made a great decision, just like go and rehearse for 3 hours and just rehearse that one scene. And so Trevor and I did so much in that time that it, like, the whole piece completely changed in that one day. So, like, that was when everything came together, and I was like, all right, now, like, maybe this could, like, be a fun experience instead of just stress and sweat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same. Yeah. That rehearsal, really, I think, similar to you, because when you were talking about it, I was like, yep, same. That Thursday night before that Friday rehearsal where your dad did that, I left the theater in tears. Like, I just felt like, do I even know how to act? Like, who am I? I suck. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I can't figure out this character. I'm not hitting the lines. Like, what is going on? And I just felt like, that's it. I'm done in theater. My career's over. And then Friday when we came back, and I feel like your dad came in with just like a fresh perspective of, okay, we were all frustrated, but here's what we're going to do today. Yes. We're just going to drill these scenes. We're going to do our own separate work. And it really did help to just run them over and over and really do some of that character work without the whole cast like staring at you. You know,
right.
Sometimes
right.
that can throw you off. So I feel like that kind of brought us in again and changed our perspectives. But it was interesting, an interesting process this time.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Did you have a similar experience?
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, I was excited to do the show in the first place because I was listening to the podcast last year when your dad was going through all his favorite fall thrillers. And I remember him mentioning Voices in the Attic, and it just sounded so cool. So then it just kind of like stuck in my brain. So like when the season announcement came out, I was like, oh man, like this is like the fun one he was talking about, like the ladders and like the clowns and stuff. So that was fun. And I haven't done like a fall thriller here in like a hot minute.
Yeah.
So I was so glad to come back and do something that's like just filled with like Halloween fun.
Yeah.
And it's not like too serious. Like it's just like a bunch of like small scenes, which is like kind of like my favorite, is doing like anthology pieces.
Yeah.
But it was great. Like we showed up to auditions and like same as Catherine, I was just like, I know like which role I want to play. Like, so like I'm glad that worked out. But no, it's been a process because same thing, just trying to do lines with like one day a week, like running a particular scene was frustrating. And I think it was because you could run it like at home and like have somebody like reading lines for you, but it's never going to be the same as actually doing it with your partner.
Yeah.
And it's like you'll get into like little like things you'll throw out there, or like you get into like a certain rhythm when you're like working with like one person. But if it's just somebody reading the lines like deadpan, it's like, okay. Like, I know them, but then you get up there and it's just completely different doing it on stage, like in front of people and moving around doing the scene. So that was difficult when you'd get up there and suddenly, like, you just go blank.
Yeah.
And you're like, I know the lines.
I felt that in our last Spirits rehearsal. I was like,
because
I don't even have anyone running lines with me. I'm just trying to memorize it on my own. And then, you're not connecting the words to actions. And you're just like, okay. So then you get up on stage and you're like, wait, what's happening in this scene?
I've never felt that in my life before. Like, I was one of the people who would, like, I would open my script, like, once every week at home.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just memorize it, like, immediately at rehearsal. Like, it would just stick in my head. And then, like, this, I opened it 4 billion times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I don't know why it's not computing. Yeah. Like, you're right. Like, you get up on stage and it's just like, no, it's not there. There's nothing there.
Yeah.
I was like, but I just said this, like, with no script in my hand.
Yeah. And your role, Deej, has changed so much at the theater, and you have so much more on your plate and in your brain.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what happens. Like, the more life you have going on, yeah. the more responsibilities, the more like adulting you have to do, it just becomes so much harder. Your brain isn't as much of a sponge anymore. And
yeah.
it's like,
oh my God,
what
I
things
feel that
can
so
I
hard.
Push yeah. out yeah. to make room for this? And yeah, it becomes, because I used to be the same way. I would just be like, oh, lines are memorized.
Yep.
Good
mm-hmm.
to go. No, not anymore.
No.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Ben and I had a contest for Birds That Stay. We were off book like 2-3 rehearsals in.
Wow.
And I mean, now it's like I couldn't fathom that. Mm-hmm. For Spirits of the Dead, which opens in 2 weeks, 1 week?
Yeah.
Something like that.
2 weeks.
I have to push all of my voices stuff mm-hmm. out of my skull mm-hmm. to make room for Spirits. And so we'll see how that goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we have 3 rehearsals and then 2 dress. And then it's...
And then it's on.
Yeah. And it's been... I was off for 2 weeks because I was in Florida one of the weeks. So then I was like, I really don't know what's going on.
Yeah. It's
yeah.
a lot.
Now, I like what you both touched on where you said it's just fun mm-hmm. Halloween. Like that's what I love so much is Halloween. And I do also love like an anthology of just everyone gets their moments. Mm-hmm. Everyone, all the scenes are so fun. When I read it, I instantly fell in love with it. So like the audience reaction has been like lukewarm. Everyone's just like, oh, yeah, it's good. It's fun. Mm-hmm. We came on here and talked about Here We Sit during Here We Sit. And we're like, this one's for us. It really was just a play for us, and everybody really enjoyed it who was in it and had a good time. This I sort of feel like that as well, but I don't understand why people aren't like going away being like, this was awesome. Like mm-hmm. I genuinely love it. I think everyone's kicking butt. We all work so hard, and it's not that it's getting a bad reaction, but it's not getting like a reaction like Superstar got or like anything like that. It's like obviously not on that level, but it's I have so much fun every night. So is that have either of you thought of that at any point during this? Like, why are people just not eating this up more?
I, other than the one person I mentioned before we started recording, which I won't reveal on the pod.
Whoa.
I won't blow up his spot. He won't listen to this. Everyone else that I've had come to see the show actually had a really great response, like better than the shows they've come to see. Now, I wasn't in Superstar and some of those like
right.
ones that got huge reactions, but they were just talking about like they really were like, that was just so fun. Like that was just fun and spooky and got me in the mood for Halloween. And that's kind of like what I anticipated. I think sometimes they're like, especially when there's not big musical numbers and all this stuff, the audience, especially if they're not actors, they just have no idea how much goes into
yeah.
even mm-hmm. the littlest interactions on stage. And
right.
I think that's why sometimes they don't have that same response. And it's also like, I think this day and age, I hate to say this, but like there's just like a lot of snobby theater
right.
goers where
right.
like they want to go and be challenged or like, you know, some big revelation happens during, and it's like, can sometimes you just want like a good old-fashioned entertaining like show in front of you, and that's what I think this is.
Yes.
So
yeah.
that's why I think we have like you said, like people are like, oh, that was good, you know, but maybe not as much of that hype around it.
Yeah, I think it also has to do with like an audience not connecting with a play that has individual sketches. Like, I don't know why, but they maybe they come in thinking it's going to be a full, complete story mm-hmm. beginning to end. They don't know that it's, you know, these little vignettes. So I don't know. I think that has to do with it, too, just from an audience perspective.
That has mm-hmm. been proven to be a problem. Like the post show, we came off mm-hmm. of that. And I'm like, that's one of the greatest shows we ever did, I feel. And people were like, yeah, no, it was cool. But it's like, okay, like, maybe, like, you're just not getting it or you don't like the vignettes, whatever it is. But, like, I there is definitely a disconnect sometimes with an audience and a play that's not just
mm-hmm.
here's
yes.
your main character,
yeah.
you'll
yeah.
stick with them through the end.
Yeah, like they're not spending enough time
right.
getting to know the characters or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you don't have to just think something's really
right.
cool.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
it's the spooky stuff, too. Like, I love the fall thriller spot. I love scary. I love Halloween. I love all of that. So, and like, a lot of people don't. And so we always get that kind of reaction to a thriller, like, oh yeah, it was good, it was good. But like, I like my grandmother, every time she'll make sure I know, like, oh yeah, that was good, but like I don't like those plays. I'm like,
right, thanks.
Thanks, Grandma.
Thank you.
Now, Alex, as an audience member, what are some of your reactions to the play itself?
Okay, so I thought this show was a good juxtaposition to last year's season, where it was like actually very serious with Spiral, and obviously we have Night of the Living Dead that we usually do. But I liked that this was fun and entertaining and just kind of like, you're just in the Halloween mood. You're just, it puts you in the Halloween mood. You see everything, like the clowns and the scarecrows and just like, you know, other things like murders happening. But
I mean, we can spoil it. It'll be 10 years until we do it.
Yeah. So some murders happening. And my favorites were Effigy and Voices. And I really liked Ruby, too. Miss Ruby. But yeah.
She has to say that.
No, I did really like that one. But yeah, I would say Effigy and Voices. I enjoyed seeing you on stage again. And I know it's been a while. And I felt like it doesn't even seem like you haven't been on stage. Like, you were really good.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
It is a disservice to the theater community when you go that long without being on stage.
That's not.
It is. You are so good on stage.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that, but I love that because it is so. It's just so Halloween. And
yeah.
It's so, like, that's the point. So, I love it. You mentioned scarecrows, and this is a beef I have.
Oh no, why do you have a beef with scarecrows?
It is my, so at the end, if you haven't seen it, scarecrows come out at the end, we line the posts, and there's an entire scene of us just standing still with a coffee bag on our heads.
Yeah.
And it's so hot. It is like 900 degrees. I'm feeling sweat dripping just down my face, down my body. And the scene just keeps going and keeps going. Sorry. And keeps going. I'm like, I can't do this. Well, no, it's a lot of it happens at the beginning because it's like, all right, I get out there, I'm set. I'm like, okay. Mm. And then they move the counter. And then the kids come out one by one and take their special spots.
Yeah.
And then you come out first, whatever. I'm like, okay, something's got to happen here because I have to move. I have to cough. I have to scratch my face. This bag is poking me everywhere.
Yeah, is the bag itchy?
Yeah, a little bit.
I feel like it would be.
I feel like every night I end up with like burlap like up my nose or like in my eyes, and I'm like, oh my god, like I'm like, my eyes are watering. I am so grateful that I don't have to wear one of those, but I feel bad because I'm trying to balance like speeding things up with also like taking my time and being creepy and knowing that you guys are all suffering in these.
Yeah, when I was watching it, I was like, oh god, they're standing there a long time. That scene is long.
Well, and Trevor is in it the longest.
Trevor,
I couldn't imagine.
Trevor's just there the whole time. Oh, I felt so bad for him.
Yeah, that's rough. He's there a long time.
Normally it's fine. Like I'm like, all right, I can deal with it, whatever. And then like once I can move, I move. I'm like, okay, awesome. Mm. Yesterday, I don't know what it was, but like it was almost instantly. I'm like, I need to get out. Like I started almost freaking out. Like I need to get out of this bag.
Oh, no.
And I'm getting there and I'm starting to get mad and I'm like, get me out. And I'm like just like making the most absurd faces under that mask. Like it was insane. And it's so hot. I don't know. It's like 60 degrees out, mm-hmm. and it's somehow 103 degrees on that stage.
Well, you're just breathing into the bag.
It's just your hot breath shooting back at you.
And you're wearing a lot of things over your head in this show. So
the amount of sweat, I've never sweat this much in a show in the history of my life. It's insane. And the costume changes, like nobody thinks about it, and I wouldn't think about it if I saw it either. Insane. Like I'm wearing all black at the first part and I'm just behind a sheet, so like, do I really need to wear all black? I don't know. It's the last show. And then I have to run back, I have to change, and the kids bless their souls, are just in the worst spot ever.
Always.
And it's just like, it's the most narrow space, and you got to just run through and just start throwing them and get your clothes on. And it's just hot. It's so hot. It's a hot show.
Yeah, that's like the summer musical.
Like the levels of sweat. And then Trevor and I do voices. And of course, that happens to be like at the end of the play after we both wore clown costumes and are drenched. And so we're just like dripping on each other during that scene. Yeah. Like, this is just disgusting. It's just disgusting.
Oh. But Trevor did a great job because I didn't see him move really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how he does it. And I think the other thing the audience probably doesn't realize too is like, even though, and I think you guys were talking about it last week, but the set is so minimal, but this is the most like scene changing we've had, where there's just different gadgets and,
yes,
you know, parts that are coming on and off the stage. And I mean, the guys, like you and, you know, Ryan and Callum and Trevor, like you guys are moving every set piece between every scene. And what people forget is like, then you have to go on and play a character. Right. And it's a different character than you just played 2 minutes ago. And you're just trying to get yourself together. And it's fun to do, like to be the actors and be just like maneuvering the whole thing and be a part of it. But it's also a lot.
It is. Yeah. And my favorite is coming from the clown the curtains. I hate the curtains. I have to maneuver Callum in that big box back to the curtains, and I have to lift it up so he can.
I loved that one. I loved him coming out of the box.
I know. He's so, so good.
Yeah, he is. He's great in that. And I also didn't know like the whiplash I'm giving him in it, because like, I'll like come like running out with the box and then just stop. And yesterday he's like, yeah, I just flew. I just flew and hit the wall.
Oh, no.
We have to come off of that. And then I have to change into my complete costume for Effigy in like 5 seconds and then go on, set the ladders, and then come right off of that and then literally just march right back on stage and do a whole scene. And like, I'm sweaty. I can't breathe. And my costumes are just, they're soaked. Everything.
Oh God!
It's insane.
It's that funk's happening in the green room now. You know, where, yeah, towards the end of a show where the stank just starts taking over. Yeah, we need to open some windows.
No thanks.
My clothes have been washed twice, okay. And it's
twice. You drip every night. Don't
I know.
You?
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm like, okay, like no, it could go like 2 nights, right? No, maybe not. But it's
they're
excellent.
Soaked the next day still. You put them on.
No, they are. It's still wet. It's just on the floor right now. Ew. Soaking wet.
So gross.
So what are your two favorite parts of it? It could be your own part.
I really love Effigy. I think that one's just like really fun. And like, it reminds me of like a Stephen King novel.
Yes.
Like in a way. I do love Tarantella.
Of course, yes.
Spoiler alert. I love vampires. And I also love Voices in the Attic, just because you and Trevor are so funny. And, like, I think it's just, like, one of those, like, more lighthearted pieces where it's, like, the audience can just laugh for, like, 10 minutes and, like, take a break from, like, most of the scary stuff. But yeah, I'd probably say those ones.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I really do like each of them in totally different ways. I think I will say that I'm really glad today is the last time we have to stand on those ladders for 10 minutes and pretend to paint.
Yes.
I'm so sick of doing this. But I think just it's a cool way to open the show. Like just a true weird cult scare. I do love the clowns and all that. It's very Rob Zombie-esque, like just super fun. Effigy, of course, is just great. It just is like a teenage slasher movie, and just it everyone has like its own feel. Tacita, I think, is one of the most underrated ones in the show, because it's fast, and I think unfortunately some of our audience is not quite catching on to the fact that there, the mother, played by Vanessa, who's wonderful, is deaf, and they like don't get what's happening at the end, and it's like, come on, people, she's signing with Mother Superior.
How would they not get that she's deaf? Like, I feel like that was so obvious.
Well, I feel like part of the problem is they're all still talking during the beginning of the scene.
This show has been wild with
unbelievable
people talking,
answering their phones.
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Unwrapping candy, like dropping things. Just weird. Very weird. Last night had a very weird audience vibe. Sorry to the audience that was there. But
there was somebody in the front row. Trevor and I are doing our scene. We're close to the audience. Yeah. We're close to them. And I'm in the middle of saying something, and someone's like, who is that guy? Like, not the one in the glasses, but the other guy. I recognize him. I'm like, I'm right here. I'm hearing you. Like, you could talk about who we are after the piece, but the piece is currently happening.
It's infuriating. Mm-hmm. I think, too, because there's not a lot on set to absorb the sound.
Yeah.
That I think that's making it even more obvious.
Right.
Like, the talking, it feels much more echoey than usual. And wow, people are. Vanessa came off stage after Tecito the other night, and she goes, I'm quitting acting. I'm done. And we were like, what? And she's like, as I was walking back down the aisle, she heard someone in the audience, a woman, say, like, why couldn't she hear the bell? And Vanessa was like, God. Oh, my God. She's like, I'm done. I'm done. I'm quitting. I clearly am not good at this. Like, we were, and then, of course, we were all laughing, but just mind blowing. Like, you guys, it's such a terrifying scene. Terrifying. Buried alive. That's everyone's, like, biggest fear. No, they just didn't have their V8 or something. I don't know what is going on. But I love your and Trevor scene. You guys are so fun. What a genius thing that your dad did casting the two of you. And for people that don't know, like, and I think he talked about it when he was on. I'm not sure. I get like real life and podcast confused, but Don said that, like, the first time he did it, he cast two, you know, there were two kids, as it was written to be a scene with two kids and their dad. And it didn't land. Like, people didn't think it was funny. People weren't just getting it. And then during auditions, when he put you and Trevor on stage, like, everyone just was roaring. And he was like, yep, that's it. Like, that's what was wrong 30 years ago was it needed to be these two, like, weird 20-somethings, like, that you're like, why are they sharing a bedroom?
Yeah.
And why do they have clown blankets or whatever, you guys? Like, it's just so weird and off and stepbrothers-esque, and, like, it makes that scene. It really does.
I asked him not to before auditions happened, because we were talking about it, and I was like, just not. Like, I was like, no, we're grown men. Like, it's not going to work. And he's like, okay, yeah, all right. Great. And then he calls Trevor and I up, and I'm like, I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing. Like, I'm going to read the scene and just forget that I said no. And then here I am 8 shows later and doing the scene.
It's so good, though.
Really good.
Yeah. It's fun. Like, I've grown to love it, but I'm like, no.
That's what makes it funny, that they're so old. And you're like, well, yeah, why are you sharing a room? And then you have Sean as the dad. I mean, like, he's fathering these two old. Like, I don't know. That's what makes it funny.
It's so stupid. Those friends are like stepbrothers. So they're like grown men. Yeah. And it's like, get it together. At 3 in the morning. Like, go to bed.
Yes. It's
and Sean was really good at that, too. Like, his voice just kept getting more and more stern and upset.
It's not very Lutheran. That's my favorite line.
I said, it's got to be like a psych ward situation or something. Like, him and I are like bunk mates or something. He's not our dad. He's a doctor. Like, it's got to be deeper.
He's the warden.
Yeah.
Oh, that is good. Yeah. I like that alternate reality.
I just have your voice in my head. Just like, okay, Dad. Good night, Dad.
I love it.
so good.
Yeah, it's fun. I'm definitely going to miss this show a lot. I was not having a good time until we had that rehearsal, and now I'm having so much fun on stage again. Like, it's been unbelievable. And, like, Effigy, I love getting up there for that because, like, you're acting with your friends, and it's just, like, you just get to play a horrible, horrible human being. And there's lines that, like, I say that are just awful, and like, I give it, like, a pause. Like it's, like, a laugh line. And, like, there's always a reaction. People, like you said, this audience is wild. And they don't hold back. And they just comment on every bad thing you say. And, like, it's fun for that reason. But it's also, like, you're in a theater.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you are in a live theater production.
Everyone right now just heard that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I am having a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I am sad. Always a little relieved when a show's over because you're exhausted. But... this was fun. I've had a lot of fun playing Miss Ruby. I always love acting with VJ. He's just such a great scene partner. And Vanessa and I haven't gotten to interact a ton on stage before this, like little bits here and there. So this has been fun for us too. Just to have like that moment. And yeah, I think I was so confused about the character because, and like your dad and I, but like he kind of came to terms with this too, of just he had one vision of the character being like a little more creepy and not, and I am who I am when it comes to like being, is that me? Who's buzzing?
It's not me. Not I already me. Buzzed.
I'm not. My
phone, it's not me.
My phone is never on vibrate.
Phone is never on.
It's mine. My phone is never on vibrate. I'm telling you, the spirits are like something because I literally just turned it off when we walked in. So creepy. Stop calling me. It's probably spam too. but there was definitely some like conflict in how I was playing the character. I am just weird and goofy. Like, so I try to play these more serious characters and my personality just always comes out. I can't help it. So I think like, you know, there was a point when I was getting too like Southern, but like funny Southern. And I think through working together, we were able to scale it back enough. But he also just realized, like, yeah, this is kind of just a black comedy. Like, I'm accepting it for what it is and the way you're playing it. And, like, and now I can enjoy it because I don't have this thing in my head of, like, who Miss Ruby is supposed to be. But that was tough for me. I was like, I'm just not getting this character. I'm not a serious enough actress. Like, I don't know what's happening. I did meet with your mom, who played the character 30 years ago, and we chatted a little bit, and she kind of talked to me about some of the ways she played the character, and that was really helpful. That was, like, the right before Tech Week. So that, I think, really helped me, like, get out of my head. Mm-hmm. So thanks, Deb.
Shout out, Deb.
Mm-hmm. Shout out, Deb.
Deb helped me a lot, too. She would run lines with me, and she's great because, like, she was acting every line.
Of
she
course.
Said she was acting. She was giving 110%. So I was the one who was flat. I'm like, okay, Mom, like, we're in the house.
we're just here in the living room.
Oh, my God, that's funny.
But she definitely helped, for sure. I had something else to say about the show, and I cannot for the life of me remember what I was just going to say.
Well, I have a question.
Okay.
okay.
No, because now I'm just bothered that it's just...
Mm. Out of the sketches you weren't in, which one would you like to have been in?
Oh,
that's a good question.
That's a good question. I think not a kid, so I couldn't be in that one.
Well, it doesn't matter like what the age range, just like which one in general.
I would say Effigy. Like Effigy's like the fun favorite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think if I could go back in time to my youth, I would definitely want to be in that scene for sure.
I'd probably say Effigy too, cuz like I'm just a fan of like a slasher where there's just somebody taking down all these like awful people one at a time. Like, in, like, a 7'4" skeleton costume.
So good. Oh, shout out Sean.
Yeah, he had to stand there too.
He just, yeah, for
in those boots.
So long. So long, I can't imagine that.
No. He really pulled it off. Like, there were people who did not. Mm-hmm. It took a while for them to realize, like, oh, that's a real person standing there.
So many people are always like, I'm like, he's so still. Like, I thought he was just a dummy. And no, he's not. He's Sean. Yeah. Shout out Sean.
Shout out Sean.
He's not a dummy. He's Sean.
The piece that I would want to be in, I love Night Screamers, but I'll probably Tarantella. Because when I first read this script, that's the first one. So I'm like, oh, I want that. And then I go over, you read Night Screamers, I'm like, I'm not a kid. Pass. And then I read Effigy. I'm like, nope, that's it. That's the one. But like, Tarantella is so fun. So fun. Not the ladders, but everything else that's happening
not
is
the fake
so
painting.
Fun.
Yeah. You at least get to come down now and walk around. Yeah. Yeah.
When he said that, I was like, well, I'm blessed right now.
Yeah, you were blessed.
And I just got to walk around. And then I realized I complained about my shoulder the other day. I'm like, yeah, we just nonstop. I'm like, no, I get to walk for like 5 minutes. I can't do that.
There's times when I look at Gary and I think, is he about to fall asleep? Love you, Gare Bear. But there's definitely, where he's just kind of relaxing into it. But then I see him switch arms and I'm like, okay, he's still
he's
with
awake.
Us.
He's still with us.
Oh, that's great.
But yeah, I'm definitely grateful. You guys said age-wise, I'm definitely grateful I was able to squeak out Effigy before I'm too old. I'm on the line. Was it believable that I'm a high school senior?
Yeah, it was believable. Okay. No, you all were believable.
Okay. All right, good. Because my mustache started coming back in, and I'm like, I'm not going to shave it.
No, it was believable.
Okay, great. I'll take that. All right, so this is off topic, but in the spirit of Halloween, what is everyone's favorite horror movie? On the spot.
Yeah, on the spot.
I have my answers, so I'll go first. My favorite classic, like my all-time favorite, is Halloween, the original, because it's just phenomenal. And my personal favorite is The Strangers.
Okay.
You got one? Go with one of my not usual ones. I would say Black Christmas.
Okay.
Because that was when I watched, like, later on when I was, like, I think, like, in college maybe. And at that point, I was like, there just weren't any horror movies that actually scared me, where it like sent that like chill to your bones, like, oh my God, like this is like really terrifying. And for some reason, like Black Christmas just gets me, because there's just like this thing about like there's somebody like inside your home, like, and they're like threatening like you and your friends. And then you find out like they're all gone and like you're the only one left in this big house with like this serial killer. And there's just like this one scene where I think it's like Olivia Hussey goes like upstairs and she goes to open the door and like finds her friend like dead. And this guy's eye is just looking out from the crack in the door and he's like muttering like this nonsensical, scary stuff. And it's the most terrifying thing I've ever seen. And she goes flying down the stairs and she stops for like a split second. And you just see this hand reach out and like grab her by the hair. And it's so scary. And then by the end of the movie, they can't find the guy. So they like the ambulance comes in that and they like get her like into bed in the same house where this like her friends were just murdered, and they just leave her there by herself.
No.
And like that's how the movie ends, is she's laying in the bed and everybody leaves, and then you hear the guy up in the attic like in the rocking chair, and I'm just like, what's gonna happen now? Like, that's horrifying to me.
I don't like any of that. No.
Yeah.
No.
That's why I like The Strangers so much, because it's just like the watching. Like,
yeah.
There's so many scenes in that where it's just like, and like the one big guy is just so horrifying. He's got a sack over his head.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there's a scene, like everyone knows, where he comes in and he just watches her while she's just at the sink. And he doesn't do anything. He'd come up and kill her. He's just watching her and then just leaves. There's another one that I think is even worse, where she's locked in the closet and she's looking out and she's just like horrified. You're horrified. And he just comes and he just sits in front of the closet. And he's just sitting there. And it's just like, this, I would die. I would just die right there.
I think I've seen The Strangers. Who's in it?
Tyler's daughter.
Liv Tyler. Liv Tyler. Okay. Yeah. That's the one I thought you were talking about. Yes, that was terrifying.
Yeah, horrifying.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I think for me, what's weird is that, like, as obsessed with, like, Halloween as I am, I don't watch a ton of horror films. I'm more into, like, true crime and stuff like that.
But the real stuff.
Reality.
But my husband, Steve, who, shout out, won't listen to this, he is a huge horror movie buff. So I have watched a lot of things with him. Halloween, the original, is his, that's his jam. He watches it year round.
Oh, yeah.
All the time. He's probably seen it 1,000 times, if not more. Actually, Halloween 2 is his favorite, but I do like just classic Halloween. And then I would say, what's the one that, oh my God, what is it called with the two guys wrote it? I'll think of it.
Good Will Hunting.
Two guys wrote it.
Ben and Matt wrote it several years back. Oh my God, I'll think of it. It was just maybe like 5 years ago. That one, it just terrified me. I'll remember it. But yeah, and The Strangers, that one. Mm-hmm. I still have flashbacks of that.
Have you seen the second one?
No, nor will I probably.
The second one is so good because it's so different. Okay. It's like a completely different, like you wouldn't even like put them together, but it's still, it's the same three and it's horrifying.
Those are the ones I think that get like really scare me are the ones where you're like, well, this could happen to me.
Yeah.
Like that's what terrifies me.
Yeah. And the watching just, because like Michael Myers really, like he'll watch you from afar, but like he's just coming up and he's just trying to kill you.
Right.
Jason, Fred, they're all just trying to kill you. Like, just to sit there and just watch somebody and be like, I could kill you right now, but I'm just going to watch it. It's like, that makes my skin crawl right off my body.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-mm.
Okay. I have two, and one is similar to, like, watching, sort of, in a way. When a Stranger Calls.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Have you guys seen it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I never know the names of any of these movies.
Okay. Well, I've seen it a long time ago. I see it every year because it just, like, it's so real. Like, it could happen to anyone, anytime, anywhere. And that's what freaks me out, because it's this girl going to the middle of nowhere to babysit these kids. Parents are going wherever they are on a date. And the kids are in bed most of the night. But then she starts receiving these calls, and the guy will just, like, sit on the phone and, like, breathe. And then eventually he starts talking to her. But, like, it gets more and more creepy, and then eventually she's calling the police and stuff, and they're like, he's in the house with you. And then it just, like, she's running around the house trying to take care of the kids, like, find the kids, and the kids are missing, and then it's, like, a whole thing.
And it could happen.
Yes, yeah. And it's, like, it freaks me out, because, like, whenever I'm babysitting, like, my nieces or nephews, I'm like, oh, my God, some guy can just, like, come in here and kill me. But, yeah, so that one always gets me. And then my other ultimate favorite is The Ring, because, I just remember being 13 and seeing it in theaters with my dad and my friend. And that just, I was like, maybe I wasn't old enough to see this, because it was so creepy. And I just have this memory of afterwards we went to Anderson's, and just like walking into Anderson's, I remember just constantly checking my shoulder and just like, is someone behind me? Is someone following me? Is that girl following behind me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that's good. That's a good one.
I had that moment. it was to one of the Harry Potter movies. So
what?
My grandparents took me, like, they asked all the kids, and I was like, yeah, sure, I'll go. Because I knew I was getting a free meal afterwards. So I'm like, yeah, I'll be there. And I wasn't a Harry Potter fan. I don't think I saw any of them before it. And I don't even know which one it was. But, like, I remember being so scared. I'm like, oh, I got to go to the bathroom. So I go in the bathroom. I'm standing in the bathroom at a Regal, and I'm just looking at myself in the mirror. I'm like, you can do it. You got this. It's okay. And then I go back, and I'm just, like, horrified. And I got Bob Evans after. But, like, I remember being horrified, like, the whole night. I'm like, this. I was not okay for this movie.
That's weird for, like, a kid who grew up around...
I know.
A horror and Halloween and
yeah,
interesting. It's weird what gets us, like what triggers our psyche. I will actually say, I didn't think of this one, but it's top of mind because your dad and I talked about this character being like an inspiration for Miss Ruby. Is the movie Misery?
Okay, great.
Oh, Kathy Bates.
Oh my God,
I love
yes,
her.
Kathy Bates. Yes,
oh, I just that love one her is and all, everything really good. She does. She is so. Terrifying in that movie. It's so I like those like psychological thrillers.
Yeah, that's what I prefer too.
She's so good. She's so good. She can do no wrong.
All right, that's a great list from everyone. Well, what's next on everyone's agenda? We have Spirits of the Dead, which opens
17th.
The 17th, and then the week in between that. We have Christmas Carol auditions. That Monday and Tuesday, audition for Christmas Carol.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And then sandwiched, we finished Spirits. Then we have the Halloween party. Come to the Halloween party. October 31st, of course. Starts at 6, goes till I don't even know when. Whenever.
What day of the week is Halloween this year?
Thursday.
Okay.
Yes. And then we do, we'll have our Hunchback auditions. The notice will be out about that soon. And Catherine, you are doing what for that?
Well, I'm making my assistant directorial debut with the Ghostlight for Hunchback. And I'm super excited.
Me too.
I just, as soon as it was announced, I like went up to DJ and I was like, so what are your thoughts about me jumping in here and doing this? I've been thinking about it for a while, like other ways that I want to get involved in the theater besides on stage. And I just felt like this something spoke to me about this show and being able to join forces. So I will be DJ's right hand woman.
Yeah.
Do you really like Hunchback? Like,
I was not like I knew the story obviously before it was announced, but I didn't really know the music from this version and, you know, like how close to Victor Hugo's story. Like, I didn't know all the ins and outs of the musical version. But then I became quickly obsessed after like having that conversation. And God, I love the music so much. We've talked a lot about costumes and, you know, there's definitely like a lot on our mind about just how to approach the show in the right way. Knowing that there's some, you know, nuances and ways that it talks about the Romani culture and things that we just are trying to be thoughtful about. So that I think is like an exciting opportunity for us to tackle. We've been thinking about some of the thoughtful ways to approach it. And I think it'll be a great like educational experience for us too. And for the cast and the audience.
Yeah. I agree, and I'm happy you're on board because it's a lot. I mean, it's a lot. We have less time than we normally do for a musical. Yeah. We haven't done a musical since I've been alive in a different slot besides the summer. So it's a first time for a lot of things, and it's going to be a lot. Yeah. But I'm looking forward to it for sure. I'm obsessed with the music as well. The music
so
is
good.
Out of this world. So
we need a lot of amazing singers. Yeah. So if you're listening, please come and audition.
Yeah, please.
The like choral music, the big, you know, kind of Greek chorus is like you're on stage constantly.
Yep.
Like there's so much opportunity for everyone to do in this show, even if you aren't, quote, a main character. Like everyone is a main character because there's just so much ensemble in it. Just to learn that music and get to be a part of it is awesome.
It is. It really is. Mm-hmm. I'm very, very excited for this. The costumes, the set, everything is just going to be next level. So
Taylor will crush music direction, of course, always.
Taylor's fantastic. I'm excited to work with her. This will be our second musical together. This is my third musical overall, so we'll see how it keeps going. And the whole time, this is what's frustrating is I have my Christmas Carol stuff done. So then I'm like, all right, Hunchback, and I'm designing it and doing this. And I'm like, oh, you know what? This would actually work really well for Joseph. So I now have my entire Joseph set designed.
Oh my gosh!
Based off of failed Hunchback set. Oh man, it's just got to be perfect though. It's got to be just right. Yeah. So, excited for that audition for that. Please, if you have any singing abilities. And lastly, I want to look at if somebody maybe has this sooner than I do. The members thing. The members...
Oh, the list of the...
The list of stuff. Oh, I have it right here. Okay. Members events. It's still not too late to become a member if you want to. Just text me and we'll hook you up. Or reach out to social media. Halloween is October 31st, so the basement will be for the members only. We'll have movies and food and whatever down there. Then we have the Super Bowl, November 10th. Super Bowl is like... not my new favorite day of the year. I just get the gorge on soup. It's incredible.
I was talking to my mom about that yesterday too. I'm like, we have to make the same like pepper soup. Please. We made.
Please. Jenna's helping a lot with that, and she has like a whole list of what people like are bringing and stuff, so like it'll be more organized this year. Looking forward to that. Anniversary party is happening in January with the new season announcement, January 25th. That's the earliest we've ever announced.
Wow.
So looking forward to that. So along with that, because a lot of people are asking me to look at things or listen to things, not only am I in two shows currently, I'm working on A Christmas Carol, I'm working on Hunchback, and I'm working on all of next season, so we have it ready for January 25th.
Whoa.
So I'm sorry,
crazy.
I can't
it is crazy.
Listen to what you're giving me. Then we have a theater game night. Theater game night, what that means is like theater games, like going up on stage and like having groups and stuff. Like I'm looking forward to that because I haven't done any of that since acting class.
Yeah.
When I was
14. Don't remember.
So looking forward to that. The meat raffle, April 12th. Not just for members. That is open to everybody. Huge, huge news. Thank you, Catherine. Last time you were on, we talked about that, right?
We did. Yes. I committed that I was going to finally organize a meat raffle for the theater. So it's going to be April 12th, the Saturday night at Knights of Columbus on Erie. We have Artie Party doing the like hosting of the event, getting us all our meat, all that good stuff. And doors will open at 6. First spin will be at 7. And as we get closer to it, tickets will be available. The thing with meat raffles when it comes to tickets is that we want to sell tickets to people who are going to come to the event. It's not one of those things where you're like, oh, I'll just buy a ticket so you get the money from it. The money happens at the meat raffle. So if anyone is like, I can't make it on April 12th, but I'd like to support and donate, we can do that without giving you a ticket. And then for anyone that's interested in, I'm going to basically have like a core group of people who are doing more heavy planning for it. And then we'll have like for the day of and like even the week leading up to it, we'll need a lot of volunteers. So, so feel free to reach out on social media or me directly on Facebook, or you can get my number from Deej or whoever. If you're interested, let me know. We definitely need a lot of help. We're going to bring in lots of money.
Loads of it.
Mm-hmm. Loads.
Then we have board game night, May 17th. Self-explanatory, you play board games. Karaoke night, June 7th. And the Starries, August 9th.
Starries.
Looking forward to the Starries, as always. But, yeah, that's it. That's the whole member schedule. So if you want to become a member, become a member. That easy.
Cool.
Anything else? Anyone have closing remarks?
No, I don't.
I'm excited to see Spirits of the Dead.
Me too.
I can't wait.
Yes, I'm excited for that too.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. It's just such a change. I've never had this change, like something this big before. It's like, okay, forget voices, which is why I like the Starries. And I wanted to say this before. It's like, because now it just doesn't end. Because like now today at the cast party, we're going to like go up and start doing the set. So it's like, it's just kind of over. And it's kind of like, all right, brushed aside. Mm-hmm. Like now at the Starries, we get to celebrate that we just kicked butt in this really awesome show. So I'm really looking forward to celebrating it because I love this show. Like I'm actually having a great time.
Yeah.
So
I also want to add that there's been a lot of activity, spirit activity at the theater lately. Your dad told me, like, I think it was last Saturday night. I don't know. One of the nights he and I were like the last ones. Well, I was the last one out of the theater other than him. And he locked the door behind me. And then he told me when I saw him on Thursday, and I think he told the cast of Spirits that as soon as like he got downstairs, he heard like a commotion happening, like people walking around in the theater upstairs. And he was like, how are there still people here? Like, did I lock some audience members in? Like, I was part of the cast here. And after, like, this ran through his head and he kind of checked things out, he was like, oh, no, it's no, it was Sunday. It was Sunday because he said, well, it's Sunday. It's the day that church would be gathering and all kinds of stuff. And he knew immediately, like, oh, they're just here getting together for church. And I'm like, oh my god, that's so creepy.
It really is.
I can't.
Yeah, I could not be alone in the theater. No, if that happened.
No. So yeah, and I know there's been, you can just feel it. You can feel all the spirits stirring. So if you want to come to our haunted theater, now's the time. Lots of activity.
I'm communicating with somebody right now who has a really awesome ghost story, and I'm asking if I could call them. And ooh, it's sounding like yes.
A recent ghost story?
Yes.
Ooh.
Okay, here we go. Hello, who are we speaking with?
Hello. Hi, this is Sean Ward.
Hey, Sean.
Hi, Sean.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, we're fantastic. We talked about how still you stand. but you have a really incredible ghost story that I think we should share with everybody.
Yeah, I don't know how to categorize this, but it certainly was a sort of silly, spooky moment. Maybe it's just because we're all in the mood because we're running these two shows right now. But it was probably earlier this week. My son, who is about three, was in my office, my home office with me. And we've got pictures up of him and stuff. And since it's October, the calendar we have set up with photos of him has the photo from the Halloween party last year. And he talked nothing for about a month except for the Halloween party because I took him and he loved all the balloons and the pumpkins. But his favorite thing that he wouldn't stop talking about was the ghost that was in the big animatronic ghost that was in the background of all the pumpkins and whatnot. And so I'm showing him, I'm saying, hey, Henry, look. Like, what are these photos of? Oh, that's daddy. Okay. Yeah. That's not my point yet. He's like, oh, it's the ghost. And I was like, oh yeah, it's the ghost from the party. And like, oh, mommy and daddy are going to take you to the party again. Maybe if we're lucky, that ghost will be there. It'll be so cool. We could get more pictures with it. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. So we're just kind of going about next couple seconds or so. And then he looks at me, looks at my computer screen. I don't know why. And he says, hey, look, the three ghosts. I was like, what are you talking about? Like the ghosts in the picture over there. He said, no, these are the real ghosts. And I was just like, oh, okay, that's great. Do you have to go downstairs right now? I have some work to do and I'm not scared at all. It's fine. But yeah, no, he would talk nothing of that ghost, nothing about that ghost. It was his favorite thing. I was afraid he was going to be scared out of his mind, and now it's his favorite thing in the world. So you better put it up, or he's going to be sorely disappointed.
It will be up, but I'm hoping the other ghosts are not in the picture.
probably not. Hopefully, really not. I really would appreciate not, but yeah, if he starts saying anything, we may just have to go.
Oh, kids.
That is like straight out of a horror movie.
Yeah, we were talking, I don't remember who I was talking to backstage, that, I mean, with Voices in the Attic, I keep making preemptive apologies that, like, yeah, I don't play the greatest dad in the show. And it's like, oh, no, I've never threatened to lock him up in the attic or whatever. But, oh, that said, his room does have the door to the attic in it, and there, it's crossed my mind a few times when I'm in there late at night, like resettling or whatever. I was like, Yeah, no one lives in our attic. That's fine. So like this, the show hits a little too close to home sometimes, but I swear that's not me.
At least not yet.
All right. Well, thank you, Sean, for taking our call at 10 in the morning. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Thanks, all right.
Sean.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.
No.
Yeah, that's horrifying.
Wow. I mean, kids are definitely like way more connected to the spiritual world than adults typically.
Yes. Like just pointing it out in a picture and being like, well, no, the other ghost. Like that's just, that's horrifying.
Kids see, Damon used to see a lot of spirit things when he was younger. He's only 5, but it does start to wear off at some point. But after Steve's best friend passed away from COVID, like within the first year of the pandemic, and Damon was, I think, around 2. Oh, yeah, he turned 2 right after his Uncle Derek passed. And he, on numerous occasions, would tell me that Uncle Derek was in the room. He was at my sister-in-law's, who was close with Derek. You know, they all grew up together. And he started playing hide and seek with Uncle Derek. And my sister-in-law was like, Derek, get the F out of this house. Like, I know you're here. And then we were actually at Dan Zerpa's house, his old house. And we were up in like his attic space that he transformed, you know, into some different rooms. And there, like down at the end of the hall is like a legit attic. And Damon just pointed to it and was like, why is Uncle Derek here? And I'm like,
oh, my God.
I'm like, Derek, please stop following my kid around. Like, I can't. But we never said it. We never, like, put it in his head that he was there. Like, he just – and I would ask him, like, oh, well, what is Uncle Derek doing? And what is he – and whoo, that kid, it really freaked me out a lot. But then he just kind of, like, outgrew it at some point, which is sad. So we're like, you're our connection to the dead.
Yeah.
Please.
See, I would love that, though. Like, a kid, if it was someone you knew, you knew them, then I'd be like, oh, okay, they're here. Their spirit's here. Yeah. I would love that.
Yeah. Wild.
That is wild. All right. Well, on that note, that's all we got. We hit an hour. We hit our mark.
Sweet.
Shout out Sean Ward.
Thank you for sharing your story.
Coming in. He sent me a snap with that. I'm like, that is the coolest. The coolest thing ever. All right. Follow us on social media. Starry Night Theater on Instagram, Facebook.
TikTok.
I know it's always a T, and I'm like, it's something. I don't have a TikTok. So like,
I don't either.
I don't know. All right. Any closing remarks from anyone?
No. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for seeing Voices in the Attic, if you saw it. I had a great time.
Yes, it was great. Come see spirits.
All right. Thank you.